So the next speaker is Estelle Kudu.
Well, I was invited to say something 2 days ago, so I didn't prepare that. I'm not an expert in history, but I will give you some personal story. I was privileged to meet over the years some of the early contributors to this field, and I have some personal stories and memories. So I hope that they will be sort of interesting. I think that because you ask about this
this part, because we have not.
Well, you know, I one should ask Greg Chaitin exactly, but from what I remember him telling me, you know, this was a period when the Soviet Union put the Sputnik, and it seems that the United States was not very happy that the Soviet Union took the lead. So one of the reactions was to create some special schools for extremely gifted people to train them as scientists, to, you know, to recuperate. And Chaitin, at that stage, he was a student in one of these special high schools. And
United States.
In New York.
Yes,
he told me once that the entrance examination for this school was not based on anything but on just an essay on science or whatever. So he told me that he presented in a non-mathematical way these ideas and about compressibility in for the first time as his essay for the entrance examination, and then he developed this essay into a more mathematical coherent paper, which he submitted as an abstract to the notices of the American Mathematical Society. And if I'm not wrong, this appeared in 65 as an abstract. You may remember at that stage the notices used to publish abstract of papers. Now, the editor of the JACM, who handled Chaitin's paper, was Martin Davis. And I think that there were two reasons for splitting the paper in two parts. The first reason was that the paper was too long. And the second, perhaps more serious reason, was that there was a dispute somehow, because Chaitin has introduced in the paper also a discussion about the physical relevance of the computation. So his idea was that if you place the Turing machine in a different physical universe, you may obtain different results as a result of the computation. And it seems that the editors of the journal were not happy to mix these ideas, physics and computation. So this was, I assume the second reason they postponed this part, this large part, and they published, after such a long time.
So physics was where? The first part or the second one?
Well, no, I don't know exactly where it was. So it was split from the paper. Well, the paper was just one paper, the long paper. Mm-hmm. Right, so they first of all, they extracted this part of physics. They put it on hold because they are not happy to mix.
Yeah.
Computing goes. You remember, for the one of the important things, I think this was the late 50s, was this divorce between, in computer science, between, the physics, if you want, of the computation, and the computation, when we invented circuits, or we started doing computer science in a very abstract way, without having, to mess up with these dirty parts of the physics. Now, it took it, such a long time till Deutsch realized that, actually physics is extremely important for computer science, physics, 1982, when he published his paper about the quantum Turing machine, sort of came back into the picture. So anyway, this is my personal recollection of what Greg had been told me in various stages.
And in what year there was this entrance exam, just to, for the record? He was still in the school when he submitted the
GCSE. Yeah, so he is. So let me think one moment. He will be 59 this year. So just compute and see. So I think that he was 15 or some 15 or 14 when he was. In high school, so I was pretty young when he did this.
So he wrote me that this delay and this change in publication dates from one part 66, one part 69, it was due to the reason that for some reason or other, his father moved back to Argentina. He went together with his father back to Argentina, became a programmer of his IBM. Now, then the proofs of the second part of that paper, at least somebody tells me, the proofs of the second part of the paper got lost, or the address was wrong, or anyway there was some problem in communication and everything messed up, and so therefore the second part was delayed up to 69, simply a sort of communication problem while he was slavering away. At the computer in Argentina, there was also something else.
Yeah, well,
and there was also something else. There was also a quarrel with the referee. That was Loveland, and this was because Loveland, according to Shaitan, when he had the paper as a referee, he sent this to Kolmogorov in Moscow, and Shaitan was very angry that the referee, without asking him, and sent the manuscript of the submitted paper to somebody else. So maybe
some referee is a normal
practice. Yeah. Anyway, there was some disagreement about it. Yeah. So I asked Brooklyn, and he got sort of corroborated.
Definitely there were a chain of events, because this is such a long delay I have three stories. The time is quite late, so I will enumerate, and if you are interested in any of them, you tell me. If not, I'm happy to stop it here. So
no, just provide number one, number two, and number three.
So number one is how Greg Chaitin missed to meet Gödel. Number two, what Martin Löf had to say about the theory, and number three, the story of the Solovay manuscript. Yeah. So, which one you want? I'm happy to.
No, only one. We should choose.
No, I can give you all three shortly, but
it's very interesting. Nobody's obliged to stay, so just.
Because you said that he left.
Well, from a formal point of view, Chaitin is very, well, he doesn't have degrees, doesn't have a supervisor, doesn't have a PhD. So he, after he graduated from this, you know, gifted school for students, he went for 1 year to the university, and after this he was hired by IBM, and he spent all his life with IBM. Sorry.
The university
is
in Buenos Aires?
Sorry?
Buenos Aires?
No, in New York.
New York.
City College.
No, City College. No, he was in New York, but he spent just 1 year and he didn't get any degree. He has no PhD, no supervisor. So that's one. So.
My question is turned back to Argentina at that moment.
I think that this was probably 67 maybe. Yeah.
So right but after but he got admitted to this school, he went back to Argentina. What?
Excuse me.
Right after he got admitted to this school, he went back.
No, he finished the school. He went to City College for 1 year, and then he dropped.
That's where that part of it.
Yeah.
My son went back to Argentina because we were Vietnam War, already there. So, and then he stayed in 1975 in Buenos Aires. There he did not go to the university. He was not allowed to be a professor. He did not
well, he couldn't be a professor without a degree.
Yeah, he was not allowed to be.
No, but he was all the time employed by IBM in New York, back to Argentina, and again back to New York. He was continuously.
Yeah. In IBM, it was at the beginning, he couldn't start immediately, but what he was doing there, it was not research, it was just programmer in IBM.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
He seems to be the programmer.
Well, but that's not there to be a programmer. That's not humiliating, but. But I think that, yeah, and in the early 70s, he returned for a couple of months to New York from Argentina. And this is when he had this paper about the information theoretic variant of Gödel incompleteness.
Yeah, yeah, it should be.
Yeah, and he, for the duration of his visit back to New York, he called Gödel, who was at the Institute of Advanced Study, and asked him for a short discussion, an appointment. And it was a rather complicated mechanism to talk to Gödel's secretary, because you know it was not easy to talk to Gödel directly. And briefly, Gödel said, "Well, what do you want to talk to me about?" And he said, "Well, I have a new version of incompleteness. So your version was based on the Lyell paradox. Mine is based on the Richards paradox." And apparently, Gödel replied that, "Well, whatever paradox I use, it doesn't make any difference." Chaitin replied, "Well, not, but if I change the paradox, I can obtain a different version, an information theoretic version, which is probably different." And Gödel said, "Okay, send me your paper. I will read it, and if I would find it interesting, I would give you this appointment." So, Chaitin sent him, I think, a copy of the proofs of his article to Gödel. And I don't know, for a couple of weeks he didn't get anything, but at some stage, it was in the early spring, Gödel's secretary called him and he said, "Well, Professor Gödel is happy now to talk to you for half an hour," and he made an appointment with him. So, but unfortunately for Chaitin, the day of his appointment, he had to travel by train from New York to Princeton, And that day was very cold with a little bit of snow, and Goethe was very, very much afraid of cold. He decided not to come to the institute, so his secretary called Chaitina and said, "I'm sorry, your appointment was cancelled because Professor Levy is not able to come to the institute today." And Chaitina had to leave for Argentina very soon, so he missed his chance to talk to Goethe. So that was the story with Chaitina and Goethe. You know very well that in April we will celebrate Goethe's centenary this year. The story with Solovey manuscript. When I started reading and trying to understand the basics of these subjects in order to write my book Information and Randomness, I discussed with Greg Chaitina, and he told me that, well, look, if you really want to write a good book, you have to read Solovey's manuscript. And I said, okay, sure. Do you have? I said, no. I don't keep even my paper, so I don't have it. So I started asking around. Eventually, I wrote to Solovey, and I said, well, Greg Chaitina told me that I should read your manuscript, and could I have a copy, or could I be directed to somebody who has it? And he said, well, yes, I have one, but I don't have it anymore. So Solovey didn't have any copy. This was early 91, 92. So again, I tried to get. Eventually, I contacted Charles Bennett, and he had one copy, and he was very, very kind to send me a copy of this copy. And it's also interesting, the story which Greg Chaitina told me about how this book was written. Solovey was for 1 year at IBM on a sabbatical leave, and he was asked to write a report about JT's work. And probably most of normal people will write two or three pages of a report and will forget forever about this. But you know very well that Solovey took it very seriously, so he rewrote many parts of the theory in his new, in a completely different new style, and he solved also a number of a substantial number of open problems for that stage. And Greg Chaitina told me that he was extremely unhappy. Greg was very unhappy. He said, look, this guy is so bright. He has nothing to do with this field. He comes here, he reads this bunch of paper, he produces this beautiful manuscript, solving so many problems, and at the end of the day, he doesn't bother even to publish anything. And this was the situation, so they never published. When I asked him, then I told him, look, I got a copy of the manuscript from Charlie Bennett, and I sent him a copy, and he said, well, if you have a student or whoever who would like to, read and edit and publish the book, fine with me, but I'm not interested in working on it, so it has to happen that only Rod and Dennis had the force to get through and recuperate most of the results in this manuscript. So after this, I made copies. So I think gradually, I have the original copy from Charlie Bethe, but most of the copies which circulate today have
come from
went from New York to or New Zealand, and then they were spread around the world. And the last one is very short, with Martin Luff. I was in correspondence with him for a couple of years, but I have met him only once, and we had long discussions. And by that time, he already had left completely the field. And I asked him a question, and he responded more or less in the same way with them answer Jack Shorts answered a similar question I asked him at a different time. So I asked Martin Luff whether he is happy that the field is called Kolmogorov complexity. And Martin Luff replied, well, do you think that in 500 years would it matter? and actually, the same answer I got from Jack Shorts, and he is writing now, he's finishing a book in biology, and apparently, taking seriously this philosophy, he will not put the name of the author of the book, only the title.
So the copyright will be belong to Paul directly or what?
I don't know. Who is it? But on the cover, the book will not appear with a name. Or with an author.
Even a small print in the last page. Is it interesting?
Yeah, well, he says, in 500 years it would not matter. Okay, thank you very much. This was my story.
Two remarks about Solovay and Martin Luff in this sense. So I got the Solovay manuscript originally from John Case, well, it's the original one, in the 80s. Now, Solovay, I asked him why he never did anything with the manuscript. So I had four conversations and it's completely different conference, quantum computing, because Solovay said that logic. He threw all his books out of the window from logic. So I said, look, I finished it. I was looking at talking with Greg Shaden. I was very interested in the stuff. Shaden had great ideas. And so I thought, so this is good stuff. So I started to work at it. And then I had gave these lectures. I had this entire manuscript. So then I wanted to publish it. Then I got to know that most of the central results had already been published by Gage and Levin and other of these Russians, and then I lost heart. I thought, well, not going to work in an area, whatever I do, or somebody, people work I never heard of suddenly appeared out of nowhere. And so then he stopped doing that, and he didn't want to figure out which parts of the manuscript were now at this point, let's say, preempted. Not preempted, and that was an accurate decision. But his method, Martin Luff, told me in Moscow when he centenary there that he originally started this Martin Luff randomness business because his prime aim here was to do a formal theory of statistics which was scientifically founded. He was extremely disappointed that it didn't catch on among the statisticians. In fact, there have been some altercations in Swedish or other statistical journals about the Martin Luff test for randomness, etc., even by some opponent who wrote a paper under weak strong test for randomness under that title or something like that. And so Martin Luff said it didn't catch on, so I published some papers in it that I but not almost nothing, and left the field and went somewhere else. So he was actually quite happy with that the structure function approach seemed to be more direct related to the statistics interest.
Actually, Solovey published one paper in a collection which I edited a couple of years ago, where he constructs this universal self-delimiting Turing machine whose halting probability cannot be determined. Any bit of this omega number cannot be determined by its number plan. So, eventually he published something.
I think that's a great success of your powers of persuasion. It's very hard to get a solid way to publish anything now.